Now, dāna means, literally, giving. It means generosity. And it represents the practical, the altruistic aspect of the bodhisattva's life and career and activity. And dāna, or giving, is the first of the six paramitas, the six perfections, or transcendental virtues. What the term paramita means, or really means, we shall see just a little later on. Now, it apparently is not without reason that dāna is enumerated first as among these six paramitas. And in fact, it seems that there is a definite reason for this, for dāna, giving, generosity, coming first, right at the head of the list. It seems that our natural human tendency is to take, to draw towards ourselves, for ourselves. If any new proposition comes up, whether it's in connection with the business or home, working life, professional activity, any sort of sport, entertainment, our usual reaction, at least half consciously, at least unconsciously, is, well, what is there in this for me? There's always a self-reference. What can I get out of it, as it were? What can it offer for me? There's always this sort of tendency, this sort of grasping, this sort of clinging. You may remember, those of you who've seen the Tibetan Wheel of Life, that right at the hub there are three figures, three animals. And one of these is a cock. And this cock represents craving. It represents thirst. And it's right there at the hub of the Wheel of Life, right there in the midst, as it were, of our own hearts. And it symbolizes, it gives recognition to the fact that craving, not just ordinary healthy desire, but craving occupies a very, very important place in our total life and activity, and very often dominates our life, dominates our activity, at least unconsciously. We're all in the grip of this craving, all swept along, as it were, by this craving, impelled by this thirst. So everything that we do, everything in which we become interested, has a sort of self-reference underneath. Now, the bodhisattva has got to reverse this tendency if he's to get anywhere near enlightenment. He's got to put it completely into reverse, or to turn it, as it were, inside out or upside down. And therefore, giving comes first, because giving is the direct opposite of grasping, which is the normal, or at least the usual, human tendency. It's as if to say, it's as if the teaching said to us, well, you may not be very moral. You may not be very strict about your observance of the precepts. You may not be able to meditate for hours at a time. In fact, even 5 minutes may be difficult. You may not be very learned in the scriptures. You might not have read very much. But if you want to lead a spiritual life, if you aspire to lead any sort of higher life at all, then at least, the very least that can be expected of you is that you will give, that you'll be a little bit open-handed. Because if you are generous, if you can give, then whatever else you may be a thief, you may be a murderer, you may be a prostitute, you may be anything else, but if you can give, then there is some hope for you from a spiritual point of view, at least certainly from the Mahayana point of view. And conversely, we may say that the ungenerous person, the person who finds it difficult to give, difficult to part with things, difficult to look outwardly to the needs of others, as it were, such a person cannot, at least not for the present, lead a spiritual life. They may be rigidly virtuous. They may strictly adhere to all the precepts. They might even be quite well-versed in Buddhist philosophy. But, for the present at least, spiritually speaking, from the standpoint of the Mahayana, there's no hope for them. Now, the Bodhisattva is the giver par excellence. If you like, the ideal giver. And it's not just a question of transferring possessions. It's not just a question of giving this to that particular person. Giving or generosity is above all else an attitude of heart and of mind. Indeed, it's an attitude of one's whole being. One doesn't just give with one's hand. One doesn't even just give with one's heart. One gives with one's total being. One's whole being is involved in the act of giving. And this is why Walt Whitman says in a very, very memorable line, he says, "When I give myself." That is, not I give personally with my own hand, but I give my whole being when I give. My whole being is involved in the gift. I give myself, because nothing less than that will do. And this is very much the Bodhisattva's attitude. If we want to get away from Buddhist philosophy and technical, traditional definitions, if we want to forget even about enlightenment as a concept, and if we want to define the Bodhisattva in some new, some original way, which will mean something more perhaps to us, we may perhaps describe the Bodhisattva as the person who gives himself. Gives himself all the time and gives himself to everybody. Now, the Buddhist scriptures have got much to say on this topic of dana, generosity or giving. In fact, we may say that it's one of their favourite topics. They're always going on about it. And it's a very popular theme for discourse in the East. If you go along to any Eastern Buddhist country, if you go to a temple, especially in the evening or especially on full moon days, if you just sit amongst the people listening to the sermon, and if you just listen to what the monk or the lama is saying, usually seated on a high sort of throne where everybody can see him, if you just sit, if you just listen, you'll in 9 cases out of 10 find he's speaking on this subject of dana, generosity or giving. Now, the scriptures consider generosity or giving under a number of different headings. Those of you who've had any sort of study of Buddhist texts will know that they're rather fond of doing this. They sort of divide and subdivide and subdivide and so on. Sometimes you can get a little bit lost in this way, but for serious study, it's quite helpful. So this evening, so far as dana, so far as generosity, so far as giving is concerned, I'm going to follow that tradition. But let's remember that we're concerned with the spirit of giving, not just with the technical details, not just with the letter of the teaching. The scriptures usually deal with dana under the headings of one, to whom the dana is given. Then two, what is actually given. Three, how it is given. And four, why it is given. And these four headings are believed to exhaust the whole subject of dana, with, of course, their subdivisions.